to be Torah and Shabbos. Therefore, your level of betochen can continue to grow without being damaged. So they're for sure that the yishtadis is protecting the betochen. The correct usage of yishtadis is protecting the betochen. But that's not why there's yishtadis. There was just a secondary benefit of the yishtadis. The yishtadis is because of what the Rishonim say. They all agree that the shayresh of the chiyuv yishtadis in b'zeis hapechet pechalechem, that you can't get away from that. Before the chet of Adam Rishon, there was no chiyuv yishtadis. He didn't have to make any yishtadis. He had to keep the mitzvahs. Shomer va'eved, that means the Torah, and he then had to the malachim took care of everything. There was no chiyuv yishtadis whatsoever. After the chet, the klala of b'zeis hapechet pechalechem, and now he has to make some yishtadis. You have to plow. You have to seeds in the ground, you have to water, you have to do all sorts of things. Why? So then the Chovas HaLavavos, the different Rishonim, Rav Tauber, gave their reasons for what, we'll see why Hashem gave us that, we'll never know. But now that we have it, to see what the reasons are, there's many, many more. We just, you know, touched the surface a little bit. Chovas HaLavavos says so that you won't be, you won't have nothing to do and come to do Aveiras. The other reason he gives is that you're being tested to see whether your status will be honest. Rav Tauber, that there's a Kiddush Hashem, Lechoyah, it's all there, it's all included in the Ishtadus. In the Ishtadus, all those things are happening. They're not one or the other, they're all valid. I was just saying, based on this Rav Dessler, not on why you make Ishtadus, Rav Dessler explaining how to know how much Ishtadus to make, that if you're using your Ishtadus correctly, it will protect your betochen. That's all. The same way as in a mitzvah. If you do a mitzvah properly and you do it correctly in such a way that you won't be toler ushaymeres, so then your level of mitzvahs will be protected. That's just a natural consequence of the subject. But that's not what the reason why you have ishtadus is to protect your betochen. No, the reason why you have ishtadus is because of b'zeis hapechet pechalechem and all the ramifications of that. Just if you're doing the right amount of ishtadus and the right kind of ishtadus that you're supposed to be doing, then you won't be toler ushaymeres, so then your betochen will be safe and then you can go to the next level of betochen, as opposed to having your betochen rocked and damaged, and then you have to start climbing up again, and it's very hard to go back to a place where you've been and you've charotted and you've had charotted being there. So that's what's okay. So based on that clarification, is that clear now of any questions, any confusion before we go on? Because you don't want to get this wrong. This is a very tzachai. This is mamash halacha l'mamash. That's been worked all the time.
I think that was power. That was a great clarification.
Calm down, exactly you're on the top. Calm down. You said thank you. Just calm down. Don't. Take it easy.
Thank you. Well done.
Okay, fine. So if that's clear, will you tell me a story? Okay, so let me tell you, just the story will answer a few of your questions. It's a personal story, and I don't like telling personal stories, but it's also a limud in a person's approach to the subject. I was working on the sugya quite deeply, seeing how making ishtadlis, we haven't really learned the sugya yet, where Dessler goes into the whole sugya of the different great tzaddikim, and you see sometimes that the bigger tzaddik made more ishtadlis and the lesser tzaddik made little ishtadlis. Sometimes the little tzaddik's got to make more ishtadlis. Is it lo kol kach pashut? And to find yourself in that whole marechet that he gives is almost impossible. It's very, very it's irritating to try and find yourself there. But I was working on one aspect of it, and I had a feeling that if I would, the yeshiva needed money as always, and I was struggling to raise money. And I had some phone calls that I needed to make, but I was worried that if I would make the call and the money would come in, I would attribute the call to getting the money. That was my bother. It wasn't a big bother. I wasn't losing sleep about it, not, I promise you. I wasn't about my lama bar. I was working on the subject, and I didn't want to make the call and then get the money and say, yeah, you see, had I not made the call, I wouldn't have got the money. It's only because I made the call, I made the money. I didn't want that bilbul hadas. That's really what I was trying to protect myself from. Maybe I was just being lazy as well. I don't know. Anyway, I asked my Rav what I should do. He said, you have to make ishtadlis. We're not on a level where I make ishtadlis. You have to make ishtadlis. Don't start having, chizkiyah melech's cheshboinus here. Zelo b'makom. That's not for you. You make ishtadlis, but you daven to Hashem that you don't have bilbul hadas. That you don't tell Hashem that you made your ishtadlis, and whatever happens, you don't want the confusion of thinking that your ishtadlis made the money. 3 odd, you pick up the phone, you phone the guy, and he says, yeah, I'll make a transfer, and he puts money in your account. So you're going to tell me that nothing to do with the call. If I hadn't made the call, the money would have come in anyway. So that's what you're diving for, that's what he said. So that's what I did. I picked up the phone, I phoned this particular person. He said, okay, I'll send you the money. And I dove into Hashem that it would be, it was like almost diving for a nice for me, but my Lord told me that's what I must do, so that's what I did. I dove into Hashem Abibal Adas. 2 days later, I open up the bank account, the Yeshiva's bank account, and there is the transfer from this guy that I spoke to for a specific amount. Whatever, let's call it $1,000, whatever you want, okay? No Moshele, it was in shekels, but anyway, let's say. It's nice in shekels because it was a non-round number. It was 3,600 shekels or whatever, 3,550 shekels, lo zochem. In the very next row, in the very next row, is another donation for exactly the same amount. Mamash to the shekel, the exact same amount, from a charity company that processes my donations in England. Okay, there's a company called Achisamach, fantastic, tzaddikim. And if you want to give money and you want to get a tax receipt or whatever, so you give it to them and they distribute the funds to the stocker so that I get my money and the person there gets his tax receipt, whatever, that's what they do. So there's an amount there from Achisamach. So I know that's come from England, but I haven't spoken to anybody in England for a long time. I'm not expecting money from England. And I don't know what it is. And it's the exact same amount as the guy above. There's a Ma'od Makorepo. Anyway, I picked up the phone. And I found Achisamach and I said, what's this donation? So she tells me the name of the person who gave her the donation. This is a bacher who was in the yeshiva maybe 10 years ago that I haven't spoken to for maybe 5 years. Seriously, I hadn't spoken to for 5 years. And I know that he wasn't doing very well. He's got a very simple job. He ekes out a living. And he would have been the last person on my list of people I would have called if I was trying to make ishtadlus. And he sent me the money without me asking, without doing anything. So there was the answer for the tefillah. That was Mama Shoshim answering my tefillah. You think the reason why the number one donation came is because you made the call. I'm showing you I can send you money the exact same amount without you doing anything. The money could have come in just as easily. So you have to make the ishtadlus. No one's saying not, because that's what you have to do. There's no one in this generation who lives. They say, I don't know, I heard from Rav Tetz, I don't know, I'm not arguing with anybody. That's what he said. That the last two people that lived on a level where they didn't make ishtadlus and it made no difference what happened was the Chazon Ish and the Leshem, Rabbi Lashav Zayde. So Rabbi Lashav Zayde. So Rabbi Lashav Zayde, Rabbi Shlomo Eliashiv, who was the Chofetz Chaim's Kabbalah Rebbe, he was a Goyen Olam, he was a very great man. They said the Chofetz Chaim had a picture in his house, was only a picture that in his house. The Chofetz Chaim had a picture in his house, that's what they say. Be that as it may, the Leshem was a great man, and if Rabbi Levin didn't bring him Chalas for Shabbos, he didn't have it, made a difference. The Chazon Ish as well, the Chazon Ish said, I don't know whether I need to eat or not, but if my wife puts food in front of me, I still have to eat, but he didn't have any Shaykhs to Ishtadus whatsoever. That's what I heard. I don't know, I'm not, I wasn't there, I didn't see it, I'm just saying whether those were the last two. After that, everyone has to make some kind of Ishtadus. Whether it's a Yisachos villain, whether it's the wife's making this, I don't know, but there's nobody that's not doing anything, just sitting there and Lomashaleh, what happened. Once again, there may be people we don't know about, people we do know about, I don't know, that's not the point. The point is that today we make Ishtadlis. We have to make Ishtadlis. At the same time, you have to daven that you don't think your Ishtadlis is bringing the results, because it's too easy to see that there is a very clear cause and effect, you know. You go to work, you get a check, you go on unpaid leave, you get promises from the government, you don't get any money, you know, so when you go back to work, you get a check. So there's a mod kashe not to see the connection. So that's the avoider. So yeah, that story for me was a big chizuk, and it's helped me a lot going forward in many, many different situations. That story helped me a lot because it was just so clear. It was, you know, just had another donation come from the guy that I spoke to 3 months ago, forgotten. Today you remembered. It also happens. But yeah, it was a guy I haven't spoken to, I wouldn't have thought of asking him, and he sent the exact same amount. I mean, that's like, for me, that was a big eye opener. And it was after I asked the question, you know, why do I make Ishtadlus? I'm going to get Mubadal. So don't you get Mubadal? Hashem showed you that. And nothing to be confused about if you think your efforts are doing anything. Okay. Fine. Maybe had I not made the call, the first one wouldn't have come. That's what you would ask. Okay, fine. I had that thought as well. The Seder. Tov. So obviously there's much more to discuss in the Tochan, there's much more to discuss in this whole avodah ishtadlus, whatever. Well, we've scratched the surface, we've opened up hopefully tickled your curiosity that you want to learn more and grow more. Bezrat Hashem, tonight we have the Chavis Halavah V'Shara B'Tochen Vat. You want to join that and start exploring the subject more in the classic sources. Vakasha, whatever. It's today. It's Tzadik Ben Manasseh Yitzchir. There's nobody today who's going to survive without building and growing and developing his toolbox of B'Tochen. There's no ways you can survive today without some connection to B'Tochen. Okay. Fine, that's the end of Perek Gimel.
Before you start, thank you for sharing your story. Just to clarify, if I heard you correctly at the beginning, you said now that we don't really understand why Hashem set up the Hishtadlus in this way. We're just trying to understand now that it has been set up like that, what do we do? Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, Chavis Halavavus tells us why we have to make Hishtadlus, why Hashem chose Zasapecha Teicha Lechem Dafku for that availing, what that's got to do with me. There's plenty written on it. There's a lot of.
And this is very hard. It's crazy to think you have to go and think you're the smart guy. You actually have to go and apply yourself and think what you think would work to make this happen, and then accept that it's got nothing to do with if it happens or not. That it's absolutely nuts.
No, the Hishtadlus has a valid a goal in and of itself. You bring the Makar Hashem Shemaim. When you're going to work, you're not thinking about how you're going to make money. You're going to work to think about how am I going to be Makar Hashem Shemaim. If you had enough money in the bank, you wouldn't go to work, right? The reason why you're going to work is because you need the money. So that's Hashem tells you where he wants you to go make Hishtadlus. If, for example, you have very bad toothache, like he said, so then Hashem's telling you where he wants you to make Hishtadlus. He wants you to go to the dentist. Why? Because he wants you to be Makar Hashem Shemaim in the dentist. Maybe while you're in the waiting room, you can Makar with somebody. Maybe someone will see you sitting and learning in the waiting room. Maybe everyone else will be fighting and shouting and screaming. You sitting there calmly, nasty, and speaking nasty to the receptionist. And everyone else has been nasty. Whatever, I don't know, whatever. But Hashem lets you know where he wants you to make Hishtadlus by showing where the Chesaron is. We'll see that in Tefillah now as well, the same kind of idea. Hashem lets you know where he wants you to go and koel in order to be Makar Hashem Shemaim by the chesroinus that you have or by the desire to help that you want to do. You know, the people that volunteer to go work in hospitals and whatever and go take care of sick people. That's a drive there to design that. So they're going Makar Hashem Shemaim in the hospitals. Another person, Makar Hashem Shemaim, by sitting and learning Torah. Another one, by the way, Davins is doing Makar Hashem Shemaim. Unbelievable stories about, you know, people that didn't even know that they had an impact on anybody. That just through their davening, somebody saw them and decided to become frum. There's a lot of, you know, that's what Hashem wants from us. He wants us to be Makar Hashem Shemaim, and he shows us and takes us where he wants us to do it by giving us the chesroinus we have, and we go full. There are people who don't understand this. They've got plenty of money, enough money for them and their kids and grandchildren for the rest of their life, and they're still out there working, you know, day in and day out, and not thinking about what's going to be about Olam Haba. You have people like that also. We're not talking to those people. We're talking to us. You know, if you have enough money in the bank, why are you working? Go learn. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't save. I'm not saying you shouldn't live a normal life. Why do you have to do that? No one's saying not. I'm not saying become an aesthetic or whatever. But within limitations, a person needs to know why he's in this world. And that Hishtadlus for Panos is one mitzvah, but there's a lot of others as well that you have to take care of.
That's a very important point to know, that where your Chisaron is, that is where Hashem wants you to do Hishtadlus. Because it seemed before that your Hishtadlus was literally to keep you out of trouble, like you're a naughty boy, you get a smack on your hand because Adam Arishon sinned or whatever it is. So... it's becoming much more specific. The Hishtadlus that Hashem wants you to make is where you're lacking. So he wants you to be there, maybe not for the reasons you think, but it's part of the plan. It's just hard to separate it from the result. It's very hard. It's hard to say you're going running
and you're
getting fit from running, and you don't get fit from running, but you got fit all of a sudden. But telling you, no, it's not from your running. It's like, are you mad?
Correct. That's where the struggle is. I said it right away. That's what I told you right away. If Hashem would tell you stand on your head for 3 minutes every day and you'll get fit, you would never have a problem separating the Hishtadlus from the result, because you know that standing head for 3 minutes doesn't make you fit. that you see you get fit, so you know it's got nothing to do with that. You know that it's Hashem. And Hashem needs you to stand your head for some other reason. Yeah? But that's not how Hashem set up the world. Hashem set up the world that you go to the doctor and you take the medication and this medication works and this doesn't work, and then you change pills and the pill's not doing anything, the Chovas Lavava says, but one pill works and one doesn't. Nachinam, that's why this is a sugya that you work on and learn and struggle with and experience all your life. This is not something you learn, you put it away and you go on. This is developing a relationship. Betochen is a relationship with Hashem. We said that. There was a Meshes Chochma. Betochen is a love relationship with Hashem. So it's ongoing. It's back and forth. It's give and take. It's a ganz. That's why there's so much been written on it and so many sharing on it, and it's just endless. But when you make the proper effort and you learn it, you grow in it, you develop in it, you start getting senses for it, you start getting sensitive, you start seeing things, you start realizing there's areas where you used to get anxious, where you're less anxious, you know, and then you start resonating with it and you start growing and developing with it. So that's the work. But don't try and chop all at once. This is, each one of these ideas is a whole world on its own. Your head can't handle it. Just take one small area and work with it and build it. Don't try and grab everything at once. You can't. It's not shy.
Okay, very nice. Thank you.
And then take out your Tehillim and then spend some time with David HaMelech, because he understood the sugar very well. And he says, I'm terrified, I'm scared. We spoke about this two weeks ago, we mentioned that. That what do you do in the meantime? Oh, so David HaMelech also lived his life as the biggest Baal B'Tochen, but there were days where he was having, you know, he had rough days. And he felt the fear, and he felt the pain, and he felt the Lama Zaftani, Hashem, why have you abandoned me? David HaMelech thought Hashem had abandoned me. No, that's how he was feeling. That was how he was feeling. And Hashem doesn't come along and say, what are you doing? Talking nonsense, why have you abandoned? No, Hashem empathizes with him. Hashem says, wow, I can see in a lot of pain. I see you feel abandoned, you know, come. So, have to be very real. Fine, okay. It gets harder now. Okay, so Betochen, there's Betochen. You have to take this and work this and... There's dozens of books on this. There's so much written about Betochen. It's endless stuff. And you have to find where you connect with it. I got a lot out of Rapinkel. Rapinkel Shishurim gave me an enormous, enormous Pesach into being a bit more real with Hashem. Obviously, Rav Taub, not saying that, but Rapinkel's more actually than Rav Taub to a large extent, because Rapinkel spoke about it much more practically. Rav Taub is speaking more in the Ashkofas of it. From Rav Avigdor Miller, from more the Shara Bechina, more than Shara Betochen actually. You can come to Betochen through Shara Bechina, sometimes easier than Shara Betochen. Rav Avigdor Miller was a master craftsman in first of all doing it, and also teaching people how to connect with Hashem through just being observant of Hashem in the world, just becoming more and more aware of Hashem in your day-to-day existence and in your life, and using this thing, using your brain to connect with that. So yeah, there's no shortage of tools and work to be done in this area, and it's the most rewarding work you'll ever do. So Rob,
I have a question.
Yeah.
I want to repeat over, because I think I've missed a piece and I'd like you to correct me. Where we have natural chesronis or desires, that's where we are to perceive that Hashem may want us to do our work. So if a person has the toothache, you said, if a person just loves to garden, then maybe we should know that there's some sort of gardening that we're to do, and maybe there's a person that we're going to makarev through our work planting their vegetables.
So once again, you have to use your discretion. You have to use your discretion. Not everything you desire and everything you want is necessarily going to be what you should do. Life's never that simple. I just said that very often the chesaron is an indication of where Hashem wants you to be poiling, but you have to check out whether that's Hashem or that's the Yetzirah. It's not always clear. You know, you might like drinking, and therefore you spend your time in the pub. I'll give an extreme example, and you tell me, yeah, because I got to be Makar Hashem Shemayim in the pub. That could be, that's true. I know somebody used to do Kiruv in the pub. He had a guitar and he used to go play any Makariv with a lot of people. I'm not saying you should be doing that. You have to ask Shalas about whether you should do that or not. But it could be that just creates a horror, you know. I don't know. It's not always just because you have a chesaron, that's what you should be spending your time doing. We all have limited time and energy to do the things we need to do, and therefore you have to choose carefully from the things you're lacking and where you put your energy. I was just saying very generally, if you don't have panasa, so then it could be that Hashem wants you to go make ishtalis for panasa. If you have panasa but you have toothache, Hashem doesn't want you to work, he wants you to go to the dentist. It's very simplified, I said it, but obviously the klal is a klal, but you have to know how to use it. It's not so simple. Sometimes we have desires and yearnings which are not necessarily going to lead me up the right path. You have to be careful. That's what you have a role for, to check that you're being objective and you're making correct decisions. You're not just going after your feelings. It's in the same as middos, by the way. If you want to know where your path to greatness is, take the worst middos you've got. Yeah, that's going to tell you how you become great. If you've got an anger issue, so then working on anger, that's how you're going to become great. How do you know what mood to work on? The one that's tripping you up all the time. You know, if miserliness is not your problem, so why are you working on miserliness? And you've got an anger problem, but you're very generous, and now you start working on not being a miser. No, start working on not being angry, because that's where you are now. So you have to know, but you're right. The principle is where the chesaron is, that's where you're likely to have to do your work. But be careful, make sure that's a genuine chesaron and not something which you just, you know, you have some desire for something that's not necessarily beneficial for you. Could be a red herring, as they call it, you know. You have to be careful. You know, it's all that's leading up the garden path. So don't simplify any of this, because it's not simple. I'm just trying to put across the principles, and then you have to learn how to apply them. Okay, fine. So let's go right. We have a few minutes left. Let's at least start the subject. Now, Perek Daled is Tfilas HaBatach, the Tfilah of a Batach. Tfilah, without even being a Batach, is a very complex subject, very difficult subject. The Nefesh HaChaim, an entire quarter of the Nefesh HaChaim is dealing with tefillah. It's not a simple subject, and we all know that the whole davening process is hard. It's not such an easy thing to do, and to feel totally connected. What am I doing when I'm davening? What am I connecting? Am I understanding the words? What about the emotions? We're all very moved about mazeh b'duk tefillah. So before we get to the tefillah of a prayer, we're not even sure what tefillah is. We're not even sure why we daven. We'll see. If Hashem knows what's good for me, we'll have to ask for it. If it's not good for me, you can ask for it. Although he's not going to give it to you. What exactly is the story? What happens when my tefillahs don't get answered? You see, very often you're done for things you don't get what you want. You know? So then your tefillah was wasted. No, your tefillah wasn't wasted. What do you mean my tefillah wasn't wasted? I needed $1,000 to pay the mishkanta tomorrow. And if I didn't, I was going to get evicted, and I davened Hashem, please give me the money, please give me my money, and I never got on, so I got evicted. He told me, no, your tefillah wasn't wasted, it was either used for somebody else, or you'll see the results later. I don't need the results later, I needed the money now, I don't want to get evicted. So what happened to the tefillah? You know, so a lot of difficulties. I'm sure you've all got a whole list of your own. Going forward into understanding what is tefillah, why do you have to daven, where is it, what is it? And there's many responses, many approaches to this question. They're all good, they're all valid, they're all true. Rav Te'a B'ya has a mahalach, which we'll see is quite interesting. It's very interesting because the Rav Leuchter is a similar idea. We'll see as we go weiter. But once again, don't think that we're answering all your questions and we're crossing all your T's and dotting all your R's. Yeah, we're not. Just giving one approach, developing one idea, one principle, which is a very useful approach to use, and we'll see that it's a different histatuk on tefillah lagamra. When we get to the end of Mitzvah Hashem, I'll show you that the working tefillah is more focused from Hashem's perspective than our perspective. We'll see what that means. Okay, let's start, and Mitzvah Hashem, by the time we finish this chapter, we'll be a little bit wiser and a lot more confused. Ata alayna lizboinan amon daf reish gimel. Ata alayna lizboinan be'inin atfile shehi bekashas tachanunim v'shal esrochus mes Hashem. We have to meditate on the subject of tefillah, which is requests and mercy and asking our needs from Hashem. Lizboinan adava nemtze shafu she'al pi shitzas ha-betochen ha-rishoyna. According to the first level of betochen, shanibaitchem v'Hashem shimol is kol mishalos lebeinu. the first level of betochen was, if you're enough of a betochen, you'll get whatever you ask for. The fishita zu tefila eini matara ele emtzei. Tefila is not an end result, it's a means to get what you want. Sherei tachli si milu bekosher. The goal is to get what you want. Tefila is the way you get what you want. But tefila mevi ledei kach. The tefila brings you to your goal. But it's not a goal, it's a means to a goal. If we derech zeh yisparish maimah chazal, im lo odom she'ein tefilos enenis, yachzor v'itpalu, v'akoneg hi she'itakesh v'itpatsir. If you see somebody whose tefillah is not answered, so go back and daven again. That's the simple pshat in the goyin has another pshat, it says, tongat chazor sashaz. The kavana is, you must go and ask again, go mitakesh, go be stubborn, ask again, v'yosef betochen al b'tchoyne, go increase your betochen, ad she'tizkabu tefilosu v'yikabu l'shalosu, until you, your tefillah is accepted and you get what you want. If you daven and you get what you wanted, so go build your betochen more, because if you're not allowed to have a betochen, you get what you want, so you didn't get what you want, so there's something wrong with your betochen, go work on it and fill it up. That's the first sheet of betochen, which doesn't bother us too much because we're not dealing with that. Yom HaZoyis, the first sheet is a betochen, Ashniya, Shibana, Boitchem, Bashem, Shekul, Ma'adavid, Rachmanu, Ma'adavid. The other level of betochen, which is the betochen that whatever Hashem does is for the good. L'chayin etzem ha'tfilah in the dover mover. But the first level of betochen also understands this. I don't want to go into the machlekes yet because it's a little more dark, it's not poshut, the machlekes yet. Because the first sheet also knows it, Koma Adav Rechala Lutav Avi. You have the same question, the first level of Betochen, but let's not go down that path now. Sha'arayim ha-Betochen givalas lekavas kol dova avo aleinu b'tnimes metechidich sha'kol hu mimenu yisbarach. If we know that everything that happens comes from Hashem, and it's all for the good, as mat kashe, madu aleinu v'kashe, it's socha, so adavan. You're going to get whatever's good for you, and therefore you don't know what's good for you, so what are you asking for? אם רצינו שהשם יסברך הוא שיהיה חס כאילו לעוני, חוילה או חושך בוני, הרי אני מקבל, כל זה יש לי, לא שאלות. השם wants you not to have money, או השם God forbid doesn't want you to have children, השם wants you to be whatever, wants you to be ill, whatever. So then what are you trying to change it for? This is from Hashem, I have to מקבל את בתנימס, knowing that it's the best thing, so why are you trying to change Hashem's mind? אבל עד הלבקש, ממני יסברך שישנס מצב, why are you going to Hashem to change the matzah? כל טוב. והמצב הקיים הוא הטוב יעשה בורו שהרי זה רצון של הסבוך. The matzah fina is the rotson of Hashem. And why would you ask Hashem to change? It's the best possible situation you could ever be in. And that's what we were told. That's what Rashi told us. So why are you davening to change it? And that's a very hard kasha. That's not simple. Very, very deep kasha. If the matzah fina now is the best possible situation for me, so first of all, why didn't betochen hishtadus to change it? So that we've hopefully touched on. And now there's another question, are you davening to change it? Well, what do you do? Fine. Let's leave that question till tomorrow. Once Hashem will start grappling with this a little bit, let's Hashem tomorrow. The Seder. Yeah, Peter. Don't try and grasp all of it this once. These are long, hard 2 years, and unfortunately we meet every day. We really should meet once a week, and then you would see that you have lots of time to think about it, absorb it. We're giving a lot of information over very quickly, which is perhaps not the ideal situation, but you have to use your seichel and your maturity to just take little baths. Crusader, have a great, wonderful day, Rabbi Son. See you tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.
Thanks, Peter.
Popping in for the Kovas of the Bobbisvah.